Silver Saints, since we're having a luncheon today and appreciate Ricky, Frida, Eric, all those who've had a part in putting this on, I wanted to say something about Silver Saints and what they mean to me and to all of us who may not have achieved silver yet, being Silver Saints. In fact, in this passage in Luke chapter 2, I want to share with you 7 lessons from a pair of Silver Saints. I use this term saints as, well, in the New Testament, Christians, all Christians are saints. I know in the news this past week, there's been some discussion about a couple of men who are now deceased being recognized as saints. I'm afraid that's the wrong understanding of what a saint means, because all Christians are saints. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, written to Christians. And you'll recognize the church at Corinth is having a lot of problems, but they were called to be saints. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who are in every place who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. So when I say 7 lessons from a pair of silver saints, I'm using this understanding of a saint being a follower of God. One of them, Brother Ross read about, and that is Simeon. And the other is Anna. And we read about both of these rather obscure people in Luke chapter 2. So I invite you to open your Bibles and keep them open at that place. Silver saints, we're calling them, because they're older followers. We don't know how old specifically Simeon was. Tradition says, and this is tradition, that he was 113 years old. And I don't know what that tradition is based upon, but I think it is safe as we read about Simeon to understand he is an older man. Anna, there is more specific information given. Look with me to verses 36 and 37 of Luke chapter 2. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, this is New King James Version, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. Who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. What we learn about Anna, she was only married 7 years when her husband passed away. And then for the rest of her long life to this day when we're reading about it in Luke chapter 2, she had lived as a widow, but served God in the temple. Now this phrase was a widow of about 84 years could be taken one of two ways. One, that she was 84 years old on this day in Luke chapter 2. Another possibility is that she had been a widow 84 years. If that be the case, then she was probably at least 104 years old. But again, it may be, as some translations understand it, that she was 84 years old, but still a silver saint. I want to take a closer look at these two silver saints, as we're calling them, Simeon and Anna, and learn some lessons from them. But I'm positive that as we look at these two silver saints, that we'll see many of these same lessons that we've learned from silver saints that we have known. And I, on behalf of those who are not yet silver saints, but maybe getting closer, I want to thank all of our silver saints for all that you mean to us, for your tremendous example, for your faithfulness that gives us an example and inspires us to follow you as you follow Jesus. So consider 7 lessons from a pair of silver saints. Lesson number 1, Simeon and Anna teach us to worship the Lord regularly. We don't know a lot about these two silver saints, but what we do read about them in this chapter is they were often associated with the temple and the worship in the temple. As Mr. G said, Simeon and Anna were both found serving at the temple when Jesus' earthly parents, Joseph and Mary, brought Jesus to what is called to present him to the Lord. In addition to the passage, the reference to Leviticus chapter 12, there's also some passages in the Old Testament which teach us that every firstborn male, both of human beings and even of cattle, was sacred to God. And that part of this presentation ceremony, if you will, as Mary and Joseph, being obedient Jews, were bringing Jesus on the prescribed day to present him to the Lord, there was a ceremony called the redemption of the firstborn, in which, as he's presented to the Lord, if you will, a sum of 5 shekels was paid so that the parents could, as it were, buy back their son from God. And the sum had to be paid to the priests. So along with these offerings, by the way, these offerings would indicate that Joseph and Mary were poor. There was also this presentation of Jesus to the Lord. This was his presentation and redemption with an offering. Simeon is present. And as we look at again with me, verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death. He would not die before he had seen with his own eyes the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed or thanked God. And we'll look at his song in just a moment. So he came into the temple, guided by the Holy Spirit of God. He's described as just and devout, or righteous and devout. And what is meant by that, he was just or righteous in his dealings with man, but in his relationship with God, he was devout. Along with that word devout, we could glean the word devotions. And I think this describes both Simeon and Anna, that they were devoted to God and devoted to doing those things that the law had prescribed for them to express their devotion to God. And part of that was worshiping the Lord regularly. Notice what it says about Anna again in verse 37. This woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. By the way, having been a widow for that long of time, having only been married 7 years, some of you can relate to the sorrow that she must have experienced. She had known sorrow in her life, but from this account we see she had not grown bitter. You see, sorrow can do one of two things to us. It can make us hard, bitter, resentful, even rebellious against God. Or it can make us kinder and softer and more sympathetic. As Brother Joe prayed, turn our sorrow into compassion. And I think we see that in Anna, in that she has spent her years serving the Lord faithfully in the temple with fastings and prayers night and day. She was older, but yet she had never ceased to hope. In fact, she was expectant, and the arrival of the child Jesus and her recognizing that this was the promised Messiah, this is what she's been waiting for. And she had been serving in that temple so faithfully with fastings and prayers. She had never ceased to worship. She had spent her life in God's house with God's people. She never ceased to pray, which would indicate not only was she praying with others in the temple, but I think it would also reflect in her private life that she prayed. And no doubt the years had left Anna without bitterness and an unshakable hope, because day by day she kept her contact with Him who is the source of strength and hope. She never stopped praying, never stopped serving and fasting. Simeon and Anna worship regularly. Worship has been compared to breathing. How important is it that we worship? How important is it for you to breathe? And when you answer that question, I think you see the essential nature of worship. When we devote ourselves to God and we praise Him and thank Him for who He is, and it gives us an upward look. When so many throughout the week we tend to have a horizontal focus, we get a vertical focus of reminding us of who is God and what He has done and is doing and will do for us. It's essential, as essential to our lives as Christians as it is for us physically to breathe. We see from Simeon and Anna the importance of worshiping regularly. Number two, another lesson from this pair of silver saints is they teach us to be students of the Scriptures. Simeon and Anna were both students of the Scriptures. They worshiped regularly. An essential part of that worship was hearing the Word of God. And Simeon's knowledge of the Old Testament Scriptures is evident in the words that he spoke to the Lord as he picked up the baby Jesus and held Him. He sang this song. It's a hymn. His song of praise. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Now, granted, he's guided by the Holy Spirit, but I'm wondering if he, through his studies of the Scriptures throughout his years, has realized something that most people didn't realize in that day. In fact, it took divine revelation to the apostles to understand some things that he's saying in this song. Particularly that God had prepared this salvation for all people, Jew and Gentile. That Jesus, the Messiah, was a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and also glory and honor to the people of Israel. He has keen insight that the Messiah died for all people. That the coming of Jesus was not just for the Jew, but for everyone. So yes, guided by the Holy Spirit. But also many of these phrases that he uses are from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. So I'm wondering, did he study and come to this understanding himself and realizes that with the coming of this child Jesus, and no doubt it's the Holy Spirit that has revealed to him that this indeed is the promised Messiah. That all those things that he'd been studying throughout his life are now he's seeing them fulfilled. But he teaches us that we need to be students of the Scriptures to understand who God is, exactly what He has promised, so that when those promises are realized, we can see now we understand what He was talking about. Now we understand those prophecies that were made. Now we understand our hope is being fulfilled because we understood from the being students of the Scriptures, what God has in store for His people. So we too need to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I think we see in Simeon and Anna, students of the Scriptures, what a powerful lesson for you and for me. Number three, we also see that they had confidence in the Lord's promises. They had confidence in the Lord's promises. We could well call Simeon and Anna the waiting saints. Both of them have been waiting. You know what that's like, don't you? Waiting. We spend all our lives waiting, don't we? We're waiting on the phone to get through this automated thing just to talk to a real person. You know what I'm talking about. You know what it means to wait in line. And some studies a few years ago proclaimed that on average we spend 6 months in our lives waiting at stoplights and over 5 years waiting in lines. 5 years. We need to carry books around with us. That's a lot of waiting. But then we're confronted with these statements that many of us have heard all our lives. Good things come to those who wait. Or some things are worth waiting for. If good things come to those who wait, I want to ask you something. Is there anything for which you would be willing to wait your entire life? It would have to be something incredibly special, wouldn't it? When we read about Simeon and Anna, understand they've been waiting their entire lives for something. Look at verse 25, what is said of Simeon. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. He's waiting for what's called the consolation of Israel. You see, it was the hope and prayer of every Jew that the Messiah would come, the promised Messiah. And when he would come, that he would bring peace and comfort to the people of Israel. So all these promises about the promised Messiah and the peace and comfort that he would bring are wrapped up in those prophecies about that Messiah. And now Simeon, as he holds the baby Jesus, realizing that he's the fulfillment of those promises, his wait is over. He's been waiting for him all of his life, and we'll talk about this in a moment, but he's now ready to go on to meet the Lord. Because that for which he's been waiting his entire life has come. Anna, look at her in verse 38. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him, the Messiah, to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. It's the same idea. Looking for that redemption in Jerusalem, and that hinged upon the coming of the Messiah. And there was a lot of misunderstanding about what would happen when he came. But this is what Simeon and Anna realize, that he's been born into the world. This promised Messiah that we've been waiting on all of our lives. For what are you waiting this morning? What is it that you're really looking forward to? Is it getting out of school? Is it your next vacation? Is it a promotion at work? Is it retirement? Is it children or grandchildren? For what are you waiting? Real contentment in life comes from knowing exactly what to look forward to and knowing what really to wait for. Simeon knew what to wait for. He waited for and looked forward to Christ's first coming. And similarly in Scripture, we're told to wait for Christ's second coming. In fact, it tells us over and over that we should eagerly wait and anxiously look for the blessed appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's something worth waiting for. That's something to eagerly anticipate, as much as Simeon and Anna eagerly anticipated and looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. We should be looking for, as Titus 2:13 says, the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And if that's the primary thing that we're really waiting for, it helps us live with the right priorities today, doesn't it? It helps us live with eternity and focus. And it causes us to do things that will matter for eternity, not just matter for this coming week. These silver saints teach us that we can have confidence in the word of the Lord. and wait for those things that are truly worth waiting for. Another lesson we learn is that they teach us is that we need to see that Jesus is the way of salvation. I love this praise that Simeon gives. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Again, he's saying that as he's holding the baby Jesus. And looking upon that baby, he sees not only that baby, what that baby's going to accomplish. My eyes have seen your salvation. You see, that same infant that Simeon held in his arms would one day be held on the arms of a cross, there to suffer for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of the whole world, in order that we might be saved from those sins. After Jesus was born, we read earlier in Luke chapter 2, you remember the angel announced to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The Savior's been born. Simeon sees him with his own eyes. He sees he is the way to salvation. He is the way that we're going to be saved from our sins. Not everyone sees what Simeon and Anna saw. They don't understand that Jesus is the way to salvation. Let's learn from them. Let's also learn this powerful lesson to be thankful. To be thankful. Both Simeon and Anna gave thanks to the Lord for keeping his promises. Simeon does it in a song of praise. But Anna, notice what she does. Coming in that instant, that is when Jesus is there in the temple being presented by his parents to the Lord. She gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Here is a pair of thankful senior or silver saints. They recognize God's tremendous blessing in sending a Savior. They've been waiting a long time. They had experienced a lot in their lives, a lot of sorrow even, but yet they were thankful that God was fulfilling his promises. You and I have every reason to join them in giving our thanks and prayer and praise to God. Another lesson we learn is to tell others about Jesus. Did you notice right after Anna gave thanks, it says she spoke of him, spoke of the Messiah to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Can you imagine her tone of voice and the sense of urgency that she had? She's among people. Her people have been looking for the Messiah for years. She'd been looking for him all of her life. And now she knows Jesus, the Messiah, has been born into the world. How do you think she spread that news? Just like anybody who would have a newborn would want to share that news with others. I see you're running out into the street saying, "He's here, he's here. The Messiah has been born." And shouldn't that same urgency and same excitement characterize the way we tell others about Jesus? You see, we learn from Simeon and Anna that we need to be telling others about Jesus. The Messiah has come, and he's coming again. If you cannot sing like angels, we sing. If you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all. And a final lesson that this pair of silver saints teaches us is be prepared to die. I'm not going to end on a morbid note, but I do want to include this. Be prepared to die. Simeon, older man, don't know exactly how old, has been waiting for the consolation of Israel all of his life. And when he's holding the fulfillment of that promise in his arms, he says, "Lord, Now you're letting your servant depart in peace. It's a statement of fact. Now you've allowed me to depart this world in peace because I've seen the fulfillment of your promises. He'd been waiting for the birth of Jesus. Now he had seen him, and now he was ready to go. That's important for us as well. But not only is it important for us to be prepared to die, we must also be ready to live. Because the thing we see in Simeon and Anna is as much silver as there was in their hair, they had never stopped serving. They had never stopped looking. They had never stopped anticipating the arrival of the Messiah. And so as they waited, they were busy. They were actively waiting. They weren't just sitting back and waiting for Jesus to come, but they were actively serving the Lord as they waited. What a lesson for us to be prepared to die, but also be ready to live, to be actively waiting for Jesus' second coming. Ask again, for what are you waiting? And I hope ultimately we can all answer, we're waiting for Jesus. And as we do wait, I hope that we are wisely using our time and our abilities, our talents that God has given to us. Because that's the example of active waiting that we see in these silver saints. As you look at these list of things we've worked through this morning, I sense that you have learned, as I have, some of those very lessons from some silver saints that you know and that I know in our lives. I would love to hear some of the lessons that you've learned from some silver saints. And I hope that you'll email me or write them down, and I'm going to find a way to share them. But we're all indebted, are we not, to some silver saints in our lives who have taught us about Jesus and even showed us Jesus more clearly. Let's learn from this pair of silver saints, but let's continue to honor and learn from the silver saints around us. For what are you waiting? If you've been waiting on just the right time to become a Christian, we encourage you, plead with you, don't wait any longer. Be prepared to live, but also be prepared to die. But die in service to God. Die being a faithful child of God. And if you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning, if you need the prayers of the church on your behalf, please let that be known as together we stand and sing.